The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome. Welcome to a happy hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I teach happy hour with Nikki Mercafori. We more or less alternate. I think that this morning, we just finished putting it up on the calendars for the next couple of months, you know, like who's doing which. It's kind of fun. Nikki and I are on the phone. Are you here or am I here? What are we going to do here? So, but it's nice to see that, have that done. So as you know, loving kindness practice and meditation practice in general, mindfulness or concentration, but really loving-kindness practice, a big part of it is about opening and softening our hearts, opening and softening our minds in some kind of way. In whatever way that makes sense to you, we might experience it in different ways. This may be... Maybe it feels like a physical relaxation around the heart center, or maybe a little bit less pressure around thinking. You're welcome. You can come on in. And there's, or perhaps there's a little bit less tightness or a sense of restriction. But when our hearts and our minds are a little bit more open, a little bit more relaxed, of course, this increases our capacity to be with difficulties. And what are difficulties, right? Just there's a big range of what can be difficult, including physical experiences we're having, including emotions we're having, or maybe conversations that we're having, sometimes with ourselves and sometimes with others. Probably all of us have this experience. If we are feeling tight and contracted and tense, we have a different response than if we're relaxed and open. And when things that don't match our preferences show up, there's a range of ways that we can respond to them. And a big way in which we respond is just what our mindsets are. So on one end of the spectrum, this heart and the mind that is tight and lacks some openness often also lacks a certain amount of tolerance, let's say this, a certain amount of flexibility or ability to be with things that we wish were otherwise. We may even be openly antagonistic or quietly antagonistic in our mind towards what's happening, like, dang it, go away. Or it might be even in conversations, we might find ourselves kind of pushing back and being a little bit more brusque or a little bit more aversive than we might be otherwise. In the same way in which there's this tightness or this lack of openness, we can be a way that we can cling to our views in such a way that we feel self-righteous. Like, I know what's right. Thank you very much. You might be a very nice person, but you are wrong. You know, it's this kind of, we back ourselves into this corner where we are really constricted and clinging really tightly to particular ideas we have, particular views we have, beliefs we have. And so the way to work with this, if we want to have a life that's a little more ease, more balance, more flexibility, is not to give up our views, our ideas, our opinions, of course, right? We all have them. It's part of the human experience. But can we hold them lightly? Can we hold them open-handedly? Like, this is my current thinking. Instead of, I'm right, can we just be a little bit more relaxed? And this way, if we are able to hold our views, like, you know, this is what makes sense to me. You know, this is the way that I'm understanding it right now. This is what feels the most comfortable for me right now. as opposed to I'm right. But if we find ourselves in some conversations in which we find ourselves getting backed up into a corner or feeling really uncomfortable, something we can do is to see if we can separate the views, ideas, opinions from the person that has them. This is often, I'm not saying this is easy, I'm not saying it's straightforward, but, right, as human beings, we all have beliefs, views, opinions, and we all want to be happy, we all want to be safe, we all want to have some sense of well-being. We just have different ways of doing it. So can we connect there? Can we have some respect for others whose views and opinions may be completely different, may be diabolically different than ours? Instead of collapsing and feeling threatened and antagonistic even, can we find some respect, like, okay, here's another human being who wishes to be happy, just like I wish to be happy. Here's another person who is trying to find their way in the world. Here's another person who has some ideas that maybe aren't the best ideas. I don't agree with them, but there have been times in my life when I have ideas which I later saw weren't the best ones. Instead of getting ourselves backed up into a corner, I keep on coming to this expression. So if we find ourselves in conversations or in conflict with some ideas, opinions that are different than ours, like how to load the dishwasher. Don't you understand that the plates have to go here and the bowls have to go there? Instead of, right, this may be a silly example, but instead of feeling constricted and self-righteous about it, like, I know it's better, and get out of the way, you don't even know what you're doing, kind of thing. Instead, can we take winning off the table? Can we take this whole idea that somebody has to win and therefore somebody loses off the table? Just put that aside. It's not who's right, and it's not maybe what the best way is for the dishwasher. Maybe it's, well, okay, I can see how this makes sense to do that, or, well, there's a lot of water that goes around in the dishwasher, and I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I imagine they're going to get this clean too, or what's the way that, I don't know, instead of, I don't know what exactly how this conversation would go, but instead of saying, I know what's right and you don't, can we take winning off the table? We don't have to win. Conversations don't have to be about winning and losing. Conversations don't have to be about I'm right and you're wrong. And can we find the respect for others and that they're trying to find their way? And can we recognize when we start to feel threatened? When we start to feel like things that are precious and important to us are feeling threatened? Can we tune into that feeling? Like, oh, we just touched a button that is really a sensitive one for me. And sometimes just our recognizing that can be sufficient for us to not get swept away and caught in and fall into old habits of behavior. This is where loving kindness practice can really make a big difference, either as a kind of a regular practice, as a way to kind of just have, so the mind has this experience of getting a little bit more open, a little bit more relaxed. And, or, maybe there's some loving kindness practice that happens at the moment. Oh yeah, I feel threatened here. It's okay. This is what it feels like to feel threatened. Instead of being reactive, can we just hold it as best we can? Often that means feeling our feet on the ground. And maybe it might be that we need to set boundaries. It's not okay to talk to me in that way. I think I'm going to go out of the room right now and collect myself. Or it might be okay to say, you know, I think it's best if we don't talk about this right now, or whatever way to kind of set boundaries. I'm not saying that we have to be passive. I'm not saying that we have to allow ourselves to be walked all over. And saying, is there a way in which we can prevent ourselves getting stuck backed into a corner? One way is to recognize that others are just like us, wish to be happy, trying to find their way. And what if we adopt an attitude of, well, maybe I can learn something. Maybe I didn't know that that bowl fit on the top shelf of the dishwasher. Maybe I didn't know that, I don't know, something. Instead of this feeling like I have to prove something, can we say, well, maybe this person has a different life experience than I do. Maybe there's something to learn. Doesn't mean I have to agree. Doesn't mean that they are the holder of the absolute truth. It means that we can have some openness, some softness, some flexibility, some malleability. And that is where the road to happiness is. That is the road to well-being. That's the road to freedom, instead of getting stuck. So with loving kindness practice, those of you who have been here know, the way that I like to teach it has that there are three elements. One is to bring to mind someone for whom we'd like to develop, cultivate loving kindness. Always start where it's easiest. And sometimes we stay where it's easiest. That's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay. What I've discovered in my years of practicing and teaching is that people, if you start where it's easy, spend time and cultivate and develop there, it just naturally starts to leak out and expand. We don't have to make it do it that way. Sometimes it might be nice to try, like, expanding that out. You don't have to make it. This will happen automatically. So, to start where it's easy is someone for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect, warmth, goodwill, benevolence, tenderness. It might be somebody you know well. It might be somebody you don't know at all. You only know about. It might be a spiritual leader. It might be some leader of some sort. Maybe an author of a book who wrote something that really touched you. Or maybe it's kittens, babies, puppies. Today I was found myself in a place where the TV was on and they had an Animal Planet. They had this aardvark. I'd never really noticed aardvarks. This was the cutest thing, these little aardvarks. So I just found my heart kind of like melting to see an aardvark. So it was kind of this tender moment there. And the keepers of this aardvark, they just loved this aardvark and they were so tender towards her too. It was really sweet. So we start where it's easy. And then the second element is to use our bodily sensations to support us. We might have some feelings of a softening, an opening, a warmth here in the chest, in the heart center, maybe around the belly. You might not also. It's perfectly fine. But if they're there, to allow them to support you, to nourish you in some kind of way. And then the third element is phrases. I'll be saying phrases out loud. You can repeat silently in your mind after me. And these phrases are a way just to remind ourselves that, oh yes, we're going to spend this time cultivating and developing loving kindness. There isn't anything particularly magical about these phrases. If you do loving kindness practice with different teachers, we often have different phrases. You're welcome to find your own. You're welcome to use words that resonate for you, meaningful for you. And of course, they don't have to be in English. You might find that there's a language, one of the languages you speak, that's the language of your heart. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll start with three long, slow breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps there might be a little bit of relaxation that happens with the breathing. Sometimes with the exhale, there's a little bit of And then to support a sense of comfort, well-being, it can be helpful to do a body scan. Not that we have to undo all the tension we might discover in our body, but is there a way that we can bring a gentle awareness, a kind awareness? Sometimes that might shift the tension. Sometimes it doesn't. It's perfectly fine. We're not trying to make things be different. So you might check in with areas around the eyes, often unknowingly we hold tension around the eyes, and around the jaw. Maybe even moving the jaw back and forth a bit. Sometimes when I do that, I notice there's a little bit of tension in the neck. So sometimes I tuck in the chin just a tiny bit, just a really, really small amount. Opens up a little bit the neck and has the spine be a little bit straighter. Bring our awareness to the shoulders, letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. The upper back, the lower back. And the chest. See if there can be just, it's again a really small movement, kind of opening the chest. I'm here, I'm now, I'm here now. Instead of kind of, sometimes we can hide and there's a certain collapsing around the chest. And the belly. Can we relax the belly? Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. Allowing yourself to feel supported, grounded. You're here. The upper legs and the lower legs. And your feet. Another place to feel connected or grounded. Upper arms, lower arms, hands, and chances are that your hands are touching something. Can you feel the pressure, feel the sensation of whatever they're touching, maybe touching each other? Maybe your legs, maybe whatever it might be, your lap. Is it rough, smooth, warm, cool? We're just noticing. Just as a way to help us arrive here in this moment. And just to help with this stabilizing, calming, arriving, we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. You can rest your awareness on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever feels the most accessible, the most vivid, the most supportive, just hang out there, noticing the sensations of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations of breathing. And you feel from the inside. What does an exhale feel like? Not so much thinking about it, but feeling it, sensing it. The sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can always be a support, a refuge, an alternative if ever you feel overwhelmed, lost, confused, somehow you feel like loving kindness practice isn't quite right. You can always come back to this practice, just hanging out with the sensations of breathing. And to begin the loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. It doesn't have to be high definition visualization, just a felt sense or maybe some type of image, whatever feels comfortable without straining. You might check in with the body. Is there maybe an inner smile in some kind of way? Is there a little bit of relaxation or openness when you bring this lovable being to mind? Again, there might not be. That's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat these phrases silently in your mind while holding in mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. be healthy. May you live with ease. I'll be silent for a bit. Maybe you can experiment with a pace that feels right for you, words that feel right for you. I check in with sensations in the body and see if there's any sense of openness or warmth or softness, perhaps in the chest or the belly. If so, you can allow them to get as big as they would like without pushing it or making it happen or forcing it. It's more just allowing, giving permission. It's okay for these warm feelings to be here. Allow yourself to be supported by them, nourished by them. And then to build on this foundation of loving kindness for a lovable being, we'll expand our sphere of loving kindness to include ourselves. Sometimes we neglect ourselves. Sometimes we might be caring and warm, benevolent towards others, but not towards ourselves. Here's an opportunity to practice loving kindness for ourselves. So in the same way, can you bring yourself to mind? That can either be the felt sense, what it feels like to be sitting here now, or maybe it's visually an image of yourself, either as you are now, or some people like to do a younger version of themselves. They find that a little bit easier, even when they were a child or a toddler. Whichever way feels the most accessible, most supportive, the easiest. Again, you can check in with the body and see if there's been any shift, any shrinking of any warm feelings. If so, you can just notice that. And sometimes the noticing allows the warmth to get a little bit bigger again. But again, it's perfectly fine if they're shrinking, or maybe you're not even sure what I'm talking about. Hopefully that's okay too. So again, we'll use the phrases but changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. It can be helpful to do some equanimity practice with our loving kindness practice. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody who is just slightly annoying, just a little bit irritating, not the most difficult person in your life. Somebody that you know and you care about, but sometimes there's a little, I don't know what the word is, scratchiness, roughness, a little tension. Maybe in the conversation or in the relationship. So you can, maybe it's a coworker, a family member, a neighbor. You can bring this person to mind. And then to support equanimity, we can say different phrases. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair with a cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So before the meditation, I talked about how sometimes with difficulties we can try to separate the views, the ideas, the beliefs, the notions that a person has from the person and recognize that just like us, they wish to be happy, they wish to be safe, they wish to be healthy, they wish to have ease. Maybe we can connect on that way if we can't connect on the ideas and the values. Again, I don't want to make it Pollyannish, like, oh, a piece of cake. But this is a way forward, as opposed to getting stuck in the corner and I'm right and you're wrong and then we can't go forward from there. And also this last part of this teaching on equanimity is also a way that we can help. Both we can think that for others, and also we can think about it for ourselves, that other people can't make our choices for us. No matter how much they may wish they can, we still get to make our own choices, hopefully in some kind of way. We get to choose how we hold ourselves, how we, the way that we're going to try to cultivate or develop our inner life. What's important to us, what we value, what's meaningful, and what direction we want our lives to go. And it can be a big part of working with this, exploring with it, integrating with these types of ideas, just to share them with others, to talk about it with others. So I invite you to get into small groups, and you can talk about how what this meditation was like. Can talk about anything. I fell asleep the whole time. I have no idea what she's talking about. It can be like, oh, that's something interesting. I might actually take it with me. Or I'm not quite sure what she said. Can you explain it to me? It doesn't matter what it might be, but there's no particular thing you need to share. But and no, you don't need to say your deepest, darkest secrets. And you don't have to give advice to each other either. This is just more an opportunity for us. Often when we're talking or being asked to express something, that's when we kind of integrate it or put words to it or kind of make sense to us. So if you want to get into groups of three, then you can have a short conversation and then I'll ring the bell to bring us all back. Thanks. It's nice to hear you guys speaking to one another. It's nice that it's so important sometimes, right, to connect and talk. Sometimes you're with complete strangers. Sometimes it's easier to say things that you don't say to your family. So I just want to say for me, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and how thankful I feel to be here, to be able to kind of like offer this, to be part of this community, and to be in a place with our people who want to cultivate and develop their hearts and their minds, to be more open, to be more soft, to be more loving. So may whatever practice we do, whatever goodness, whatever benefits that arise out of our practicing together, may it be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. Thank you.